And at the end of the day, it's for our audience. And these are such two joyful, hopeful pieces that, again, have a little message behind them insofar as learning to accept people for who they are, embracing difference, accepting that which is perhaps unfamiliar to oneself.
That's Peter Zazzali, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Peter Zazzali is directing Kansas Repertory Theater's production of The Legend of Georgia McBride. The production will be on stage at the Kraft and Pryor Theater at KU in July. Peter, welcome to the program.
Well, very nice to be here, Dan. Thank you.
Peter, you're directing this for Kansas Repertory Theater, and I wanted to, before we talk about the play itself, tell us about the Repertory Theater and how does that relate to university theater?
Sure. Thanks, Dan. KRT, as we like to call it, uh-huh. Kansas Repertory Theater, is a professional company, which means everyone is paid, and we hire equity actors, union actors, guest directors, as well as some in-house directors, in-house designers from the department. And the rationale behind it is we bring top standard, if you will, professional work to the Greater Lawrence community and involve our students and faculty as well within that process. So we have some students, some of our more elite students, shall we say, performing and working backstage in various areas, assistant directing, dramaturging, and so forth. But it really differs from the university season in such a way that it's truly a professional operation. We've been recognized as such. The Kansas City Pitch 2 years ago recognized us as one of the up-and-coming professional theater companies in Kansas City area. And we've been in existence now this is our fifth season. Mm-hmm. And the unique thing about KRT relative to other professional companies or amateur companies for that matter or educational in the area is we really work in rep, which is to say we're producing two shows simultaneously and they will run simultaneously, mm-hmm. which is an arduous endeavor for a lot of reasons, but quite rewarding for those involved and most especially our audience.
So because this is repertory theater, you have shared cast between your production and the other production. But not only do you share a cast, the productions are related thematically. Tell us a bit about that.
They are indeed. We share a cast. We also share a team of designers. And that invites all sorts of challenges because the amount of time that you can work with people is split between the two. So that's a challenge. The shows indeed are related thematically, as you pointed out, Dan. Among other things, we also stand for embracing diversity, equity, and inclusion, something the university has gotten behind, of course. And these two shows, really, as the signature song of Lacage says, you know, I am who I am, accepting people for who they are, you know, embracing difference, embracing diversity, embracing the other, as it were, someone who identifies in ways that perhaps we don't or one doesn't, I should say. So the two shows show situations in which drag, if you will, is a key component to the plots. And in doing so, the characters learn how to accept others. There are particularly members of the drag community and by extension, the gay community. Now, it doesn't mean that if one is in drag, they're necessarily gay, but there is some connective tissue, obviously, between those two communities, shall I say. And so in ways that are both comical and musical, as well as dramatic and heartfelt and sentimental, these two productions involve this issue of or embracing this matter of accepting people for who they are.
Well, tell us about the plot of The Legend of Georgia McBride.
The Legend of Georgia McBride is a relatively new work. It was written in 2017 by Matthew Lopez, a U.S. dramatist. And it focuses on the experience of a young man named Casey, who begins as an Elvis impersonator. We've got lots of Elvis, lots of fun songs from drag staples, you know, Madonna, Gloria Gaynor, among others. And there's some Elvis in this because he begins as an Elvis impersonator. He's working at a bar and it's just not going well. His act's not going well and the bar's not getting the kind of patronage that the owner, Eddie, Eddie, sort of salty guy, very heteronormative, tough fella. So he decides to let his cousin, a character by the name of Tracy, who's a drag queen, come and start a drag show there because the Elvis act isn't working. Nothing's working for Eddie's bar. In the process, he fires Casey. Or he doesn't fire him, but he relegates Casey to being the bartender. So the Elvis act is done. During a key scene in the play, Casey winds up becoming, you know, a drag actor, you know, because they need someone in the, you know, in a pinch. He goes on and he winds up being pretty good. And it's the evolution then, the play thereafter traces the evolution of Casey becoming this really great drag queen whose name happens to be Georgia McBride. And in the course of all these events, you know, all sorts of people have to come over differences and their own misgivings about someone in drag or, you know, someone who might be gay and all these sorts of, you know, things that people tend to get hung up over. And at the end, it really is a family of working in the bar, including Casey's wife, his two children come into the situation. It's a really feel-good comedy with lots of spectacle, lots of wonderful music and dancing, and there's a good deal of drag in it as well. In fact, we have an actual drag queen who will be participating, Lawrence's very own Brandon Iceman, a.k.a. Deja. She, too, will be among our illustrious cast, and it is a dynamite cast. So that's sort of it's a coming-of-age story for an irresponsible, you know, Elvis impersonator who just needs to grow up, and becoming a drag queen enables him to do so. Mm-hmm. He becomes a responsible father, a caring husband. It's a real journey that takes place during the course of this fun, spectacular play with music. It's got a lot of music.
Well, tell us more about the cast.
The cast consists of some KU students, as I indicated earlier, Dan, and some guest artists. We have a number of truly seasoned pros who are with us. Phil Fiorini, for example, who was an actor who was on the tour with The Lion King, the national tour for a while, Kansas City-based actor. He's worked a lot in the Kansas City area, from, you know, the Shakespeare Festival in town to other theaters like the Unicorn and Kansas City Actors Theater, to name a few. And Phil's just a dynamite presence on stage. He'll be playing the lead role in Lacage, and he also plays Tracy, the drag queen who sort of teaches and tutors and mentors Casey, the young man who was the former Elvis impersonator. And Phil's just terrific. He lights up the stage when he's on. He's enormously present. In addition to that, we have other actors as well that we've brought in, among others, Laura Jacobs. You know, she's in the Lacage cast. She's also an actress from Kansas City, professional, and a number of others as well. So it's really we I'd say the cast evens out. So we have about 50% members from the KU community and 50% from the greater Kansas City professional community. And our guest director this year is, of course, Missy Kuntz, who I understand is also going to be on your show. She's doing Lacage. And we have it's a terrific creative team, and we couldn't be happier with our guests. And part of the rationale is by bringing in someone like Phil and Missy, our own students and indeed faculty members are developing. So it's a great mix with the professional world, which is, again, a distinction between what KRT does and the mission of the university theater during the academic year.
I'm always curious about logistics and putting the production on the stage. Were there any particular challenges in this work, what you had to do on stage to make it all flow?
Every production invites certain challenges. I think in terms of Georgia McBride, I think the most signature challenge is really tapping into this drag world. I mean, we've brought in Jake Fisher, another guest artist of ours who is a choreographer, and he choreographs drag shows. In fact, I met Jake through Brandon, the drag queen I mentioned earlier in our conversation, as part of the Transformations event that happens here in Lawrence annually, where it's a presentation of drag acts. So trying to really bring life to, you know, a drag queen and paying respect to the art form. It really is an art in itself. The formula, the training, the specifics, the detail that goes into an exceptional drag performance. So really nailing those performances so it's more than just, you know, a man dressing up as a woman and lip syncing. Now, there's a real craft to it, you know, just as there is a craft to any sort of detailed art form, from speaking Shakespeare, playing a role in Shakespeare, to crafting a novel, shall we say, you know, composing, you know, a piano sonata. I mean, drag really is an art unto itself, and mastering that art within the context of the overall play is a unique challenge that we're undertaking.
So what were some of the highlights for you? What made this production special?
You know, it's collaborating with artists that I respect and have great admiration for, and I include, you know, the younger generation, my own students in some instances. And at the end of the day, it's for our audience. And these are such two joyful, hopeful pieces that, again, have a little message behind them insofar as learning to accept people for who they are, embracing difference, accepting that which is perhaps unfamiliar to oneself. Mm-hmm. And so the message that these two plays offers, without being polemical, without being dictatorial or casting some sort of sermon upon our audience, it does it in a way that's entertaining. Because first and foremost, these are two really splendidly entertaining pieces. They're great fun. I would say that to your listeners more than anything else. I mean, if you come to KRT this summer, you're going to have a blast. It's a lot of fun, these two shows.
Mm-hmm. They get underway in July. Give us information about show times and where people can get tickets.
We commence on July the 13th, Friday the 13th, as it were, and La Cage opens on the 13th, and then McBride opens the following evening, the 14th, and then the two shows will run in rep. Again, a very unique experience for theatergoers in the area. They run then through July the 29th, so that's essentially 3 weeks of running time. And you can order tickets either coming straight to the box office at Murphy Hall on campus, or perhaps more conveniently, your listeners can go to kutheater.com. That's theater with an R-E. I'll spell it kutheater.com. And it's self-explanatory there as to how you can reserve tickets.
Peter, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Oh, Dan, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Peter Zazzali is directing Kansas Repertory Theater's production of The Legend of Georgia McBride. The production runs July 14th through the 28th in the Crafton Pryor Theater at KU. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. On Facebook, you'll find us at KPR Conversations. That's all one word. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. And you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.